Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Tonight, we are in our fourth and our final episode of Fasting for Your Finances. And tonight, we have Marianne Barnett Williams, also known around the table as Mama, also hosting the show with us. And we, again, have one special guest. So, Mama, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you give your greeting to the people.
Yes. Good evening, my PRF family. We are so excited that you have chosen to take a seat at the PRF table with us this evening. And we want you to enjoy the show. And with that being said, Mama will turn the mic over to Dr. Dunlap.
All right, Mama doing some stuff different today. Praise the God, praise God, praise God. Well, listen, before we go any further, we want to bring our guest in who is listening with us, Ms. Renee Higgins. Ms. Renee, how are you this evening?
I am doing well, sir. How are you? How you doing, Mama?
I'm doing well, thank you. Glad that you're here with us this evening.
It is my pleasure to be seated at the table with you awesome people on tonight.
Amen.
Yeah. We're going to get Ms. Renee Higgins back as often as we can. She has written an awesome book. Renee, you want to tell us a little bit about your book? We got to get folk at the beginning. You know, I'm learning how to market stuff a little bit these days, so we got to hit folks up at the beginning, you know. So go ahead. Tell us a little bit about your book, please.
Yes, sir. The name of my book is It Was Necessary, Broken for the Master's Use. And my story is one that tells of brokenness, but it ends in healing. I start off with the things in my life that had gone wrong. Then by the middle of the book, I'm somewhere learning what went wrong, what I had to unlearn, what I had to learn, and how I had to get relational and stop being religious. And by the end of the book, I understand my purpose and I'm walking in it. So that's the whole goal of the book, is to help people to recognize that we are all going to be broken at some point for the master's use. It is only a crushed and broken vessel that the master can use, because then he puts us back together according to his will and his ways, his desires. So no matter how we've been crushed, how we've been broken, what we've gone through, there is a purpose in it. So you have to know that it was necessary. It had to happen for God to be glorified in your life. But when it's all said and done, you will be walking in purpose if you allow him to put you back together just so.
Ooh-wee. In the first 3 minutes of the show tonight, somebody done went in. Oh, my goodness, a deer. We're going to have to say we're going to have a fight with a deer when she come on, because she used to be the only firecracker on the show. But listen, I want to piggyback off of something that you said. You know, you did say that it was necessary, and I think that everything that we've discussed over these other 3 weeks, from Mark chapter 9 to Matthew chapter 17, as we've dealt with those from Daniel, everything that happened in those biblical texts was necessary.
Absolutely.
Every single occurrence. And I believe that one of the reasons why it was necessary was so that we have an understanding, or at least the ability to have an understanding, because something was written down that we can look at in the Word of God to be able to say, how can that apply to my life? And so I'm glad that we're at this fourth, and I would say, as I prayed before the show, you know, we believe that this is the fourth and the final episode, but by the time we get to the end, Renee, Mama, if God has us going further in next month, then that may be it.
Yes.
Because I just think and believe that what we're talking about is so critically important. For those who weren't with us, I'll just give just a little bit from the other shows. And I'm doing that because I want you to go back and listen to the other shows on blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. One of the things that Jesus said was, after dealing with a situation that just was kind of crazy, this thing only comes out by prayer and fasting. And we know that if people are willing to not just pray about stuff, but to pray and fast, then we have the ability to go to God and say, okay, God, as this father was dealing with this situation, with his son being possessed, a demon taking control of his son, having his son acting out of character. It didn't say he was born like that. Just, you know, we don't have that in the text. Like, but we have other texts where the person was born a certain way, born blind, right? Born or in a condition for 38 years. We don't have that in Mark 9 and in Matthew chapter 17. But when we have situations that we recognize are spiritual warfare, are demons that are occupying these holy temples of ours, then it's only worth us doing what Jesus said was necessary to get that joker, them jokers or jokettes up out of there. Call them. Amen. Amen. So for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to the PRF table. We're talking about fasting for your finances. This is episode 4. So had to put that out there for folks that are saying, what in the world are they talking about on this radio show tonight? We're talking about trying to get you some help. That's what we're really talking about. We're trying to let God do some things in your life that's going to get you to a better place. And so we've talked about, you know, should you even fast for your finances? Absolutely. The question is yes. The answer is yes. We talked a little bit about why or why not over the last couple of shows. We've addressed, you know, just because you've never done it before, it doesn't mean that God won't work through it. Just because you've never fasted for your finances before, it doesn't mean that God won't honor you in it. And if you've tried everything else, and all your praying ain't been working because you still broke, busting, and disgusted, you still got to file for bankruptcy more than one time. And I'm not talking about legitimate reasons, because there are some legitimate reasons out there. So no condemnation on somebody that had to do it because it was necessary, right? If you've been giving all your money because you've been asked to give all your money and pull from the pulpit and pray about the rest of your stuff going on in your life with your finances, and it ain't been working, all I'm saying today is, like I've been saying on the other shows, if all you've been doing is praying, if you've been doing something else, and it ain't been working, why not now pray and fast?
Yes, sir.
Why not try something different? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and getting the same results. Well, praying is not insanity, because you definitely should do that. However, you're praying, and you have the ability to fast in conjunction with your prayer, and you don't do it, Jack, that's on you.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're getting what we're giving out of our hearts and the depth of our souls here on this PRF table. So here's what we're going to do as we attempt to descend into the month of May. We're going to talk from another passage of Scripture tonight. We're going to deal with Isaiah 58. One of the things that I want to say as we give a little bit to Renee is that you have to have, and this could be a point for the end, but I want to bring it up now. When we talk about fasting, one of the best ways to be effective at fasting is to have a biblical foundation of fasting. Can we all agree on that?
Yes, absolutely.
Your fasting foundation don't need to come from some book that somebody wrote about the Daniel fast.
No,
that
sir.
May be a tool, but I'm telling you, that ain't the only way to fast. So if that's your only foundation, Jack, I'm sorry, you may start saying that this fasting thing ain't working. It probably is not that it's not working. It's that you need a biblical foundation. Nobody should be out here talking about there's only one scripture for fasting. You may have one scripture for fasting that works for you. Then you ride with that. You say, look, this is my fasting scripture. This is my foundation. But don't go try to teach and tell and preach to everybody else saying that they need to be messing around with the Daniel fast just because it worked for you.
Absolutely.
And I can say that with so much conviction, because we have more than one. example in the Bible that talks about it. So if it was only one, it would have been the same exact way of fasting every single time, doing the same exact thing, getting the same exact result. But it's not. I digress. I want us to delve into, you know, let's just hit it, Isaiah 58. I think about the title of our series this month, Fasting for Your Finances. And I was thinking about, what are the reasons why people fast? And as I thought about it, I didn't even know if we were going to deal with Isaiah 58 tonight. I knew what we talked about it, Renee, but as I thought about that question earlier, I said, hold on. Oh, it's lining right up with Isaiah 58. Because
Amen.
Isaiah 58 talking about some reasons why is the four, is reasons why people are fasting. They are fasting for some things or for some people. And I think it gets addressed. So let's just
Well, you said something quite powerful. You said something that's so true. It is absolutely necessary that we address not only this scripture but the previously discussed scriptures. It is absolutely necessary because in order to know where you're going, you have to know where you've been.
Yeah.
And everything
that
we're doing moving forward, it was already done and laid in the foundation. Jesus showed us the foundational ways of fasting. He showed us and taught us so much. So moving forward, if we're going to be an effective 21st century body of Christ in moving forward, we have to know what was laid down already. We have to know the foundations of fasting. Like you said, there's a number of scriptures we can go to, but it's absolutely necessary that we know what was said, what was stated, what was planted. Old Testament, New Testament, we need to know all of them so we can move forward in them.
And I still agree with that, too. And I'm not saying, and I want to put this out here as well, we're not saying here on the PRF table that what you're learning in your church is wrong. So let's put that out there. We're not saying what your pastor is teaching you is wrong, because I don't know. But here's
right.
what I will say. What is the foundation for why you're doing what you're doing? When you come and do this corporate fast, or when somebody says, you know what, we need to fast, when that comes up, then you need to have nobody. Listen, oh my goodness, y'all got me going already. It just seems so crazy to me that you got folks that are talking, that talk about, we're on a fast, we're on a 21-day fast. You got it all on Facebook, 21-day fast. But you ain't got nothing that deals with the foundation of why. You got new members that wasn't there last year for the fast, so they ain't doing nothing with any type of foundation. They ain't going. They just going this thing. I guess I got to go look on the internet. Stop the foolishness. Go to the
Amen.
Bible. Get a foundation because, and I also say this with all conviction, if I know we're going to be called to a corporate fast and I'm not teaching it before the fast, then you can expect folk to drop off, fall off like flies. Fall off the back of the chicken truck, whatever, because they don't have a foundation. And so you can't be talking this craziness about, well, if we talk about fasting from eating all meats, and if you eat some meat, just pray about it, repent, and get back on it. No, stop that foolishness. Let's be proactive and give people the foundation, right?
Amen.
And so you as a member in a church, you have a right to say, hold on, we're going to be fasting in 3 months. Go do some teaching. It's nothing wrong with that. Do it in love. I don't understand what this is about. And if you get a response and say, well, just go read the Word of God, that's the wrong answer.
Amen.
I will expect that there will not be as much power.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So there's something that I want to look at in Isaiah 58. In verse 4, because, see, we talk about fasting for finances. So we're talking about you fasting, people who are listening, about something specific. It is your finances. And let me add that when we say finances, we're going to be talking about possessions, resources, and finances, because that's what the totality of PRF is. So in verse 4, it says, what good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting is going to get you nowhere with me. That's God saying this. You're not getting nowhere with me. Okay, let me keep going. Some folks don't like that already. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your head like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think that this will please the Lord? But then he says in verse 6, nope. So all that you was doing, you're fasting and you're pressing, folks. You're fasting and you keep on fighting. You're fasting and you're quarreling with each other. You're not being humble. You're going through the motions. No, it's not getting us anywhere.
Amen.
Lord says, this is the kind of fasting that I want. And here's, and this is what he says, and this is what he's about to say in verse 6. So if we see that the Bible tells us clearly the type of fasting that the Lord wants, then that means maybe everything that we're trying to get from God needs to be looked at in a whole different light. When you're fasting for something, it's always said people are fasting for their household. Fast for you to get a closer relationship with God. Fasting so that you can become wealthy and all these promises that folks have put out there and spoken over your life. But we know deep down some folk that's broke saying, I'm fasting so I can get rich. I'm fasting so I can pay my bills. I'm fasting so I can eat out a little more often. I'm fasting so this child support can get up off me. I'm fasting so that the Lord don't put this alimony on me when I divorce my wife. All this other stuff. This is stuff that happens behind the scenes that everybody ain't talking about. The only thing they doing is giving those big old these generic testimonies. Look at what the Lord has done. Okay. So I'm going to go to verse 7, right? Because at the beginning of verse 6, he said, no, this is what I want. This is what God says he wants. So at the end of the day, your first frame of reference should not be what you want when you fast, right? It should be, somebody said you cutting up. Yep, I am. I'm sorry. Y'all started me on this road. It should not be what we want. It should be what God wants. If we do what God wants, why would God not bless us exceedingly abundantly for doing what he wants? He ain't say you got to do it. He ain't say I'm making you do it. He say this is what I want. So at the end of the day, what God wants is up to us whether we're going to give it to him or not, right or wrong.
Yes, absolutely.
Here's my verse. My verse is verse 7 when it says, this is part of that. This is what the Lord, this is what I want. This is the kind of fasting that I want. This is what God's saying. Share your food with the hungry. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless.
Yes,
give clothes to those who need them. Oh, this one's going to really mess you up. I'm sure some of y'all going to probably go to the King James Version because it don't sound like this.
And do not hide
from relatives who need your help. Uh-oh. That means stop.
Wow.
That means you may want to stop swiping over to the right. You know, swiping to the right, over to the red on your cell phone, put it in the voicemail, you know what I'm talking about. So let's not talk about all the stuff that he's going to give. Let's just deal with that. Now Renee, I gotta go back and let you get in here and just do your thing. Beginning of verse 6 says, free those who are wrongly imprisoned, lighten the burden of those who work for you, let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind you. Bind people.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Renee?
Sir. And that's so powerful because it entails so much. Possessions, resources, and finance. If we lay out before God with fasting and praying, we have so many spiritual resources, our resources. We cannot loose the chains of injustice or untie the cords of the yoke and help the oppressed to go free with just money all the time. You have people with money that are absolutely out of their mind. But our spiritual resources, with power, with integrity, with the anointing, with character. Those are spiritual resources. And then the word is absolutely clear here. Our possessions, we do have things in the very natural to serve our brothers and sisters. We should feed the hungry. We should clothe the naked. We should provide shelter. And you find that when you do the things that the Lord is requiring of you, when the fast is done according to him, guess what? It's going to cause your finances to fall in order because if you keep on going down to that 8 first doctor, something begins to happen. When you do it the way God called you to do it, something starts happening. And I will, doctor, be quiet here. You tell me what happens when you get to verse 8.
Oh, then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. I could drop the mic on that one.
Drop the mic, doctor, because that's it right there. That means healing all the way around. Your possessions will be healed. Your family will be healed. Your resources, your finances, because fasting encompasses it all of it. It's taken care of right under that one umbrella. When you do the spiritual things, put those things first, seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all this other stuff is going to be added. So when we fast and we're praying, we're laying out before God, and we're seeking God for the people, for servitude. God, how can we best serve? How can I help? Who should I be providing for? What should I be doing to break the yoke off of someone else's life, to help to destroy these yokes that are on the people, the chains, the bondage that they're in? When we go into a fast for those reasons, oh, my gosh, everything is going to fall in order because it's promised to us. Not deep, not hard, but when we go into a fast all about me, 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 me. Lord, I want this. I want that. I. No. When we go into a fast learning to be a servant, oh, my, then you'll see healing break forth on every front in your life.
I love the fact that what God said through the prophet Isaiah, before he gets to verse 8, if you just deal with verse 6 and 7, you ain't got time to be doing nothing else. That's a task all by itself. And can we, I'll say this, I won't even say that we should do these things. Let me tell you why I say that. Because when you go over to Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is real clear. Jesus is real clear.
Amen.
Here's what he says. He says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me into your house. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was sick, you cared for me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. Okay, that's what he said. Now, Jesus comes from God, right? Because this is when Jesus was physically on the earth. You go back to Isaiah 58. You hear what the Lord himself says. And he says, share your food with the hungry, give shelter to the homeless, get clothes to those who need. So we can easily see a correlation that is all about service. But here's what I love the most. Even in Matthew chapter 25, Matthew 25, here's what Jesus said. Here's what he didn't say. He didn't say you have to do it. He gave him a choice. Because remember when he said to those he was speaking to, the disciples, he said, they said, well, how do we ever do this? When do we ever give you something to drink and feed you and show you hospitality or give you clothes? When do we ever do that? And he says, I tell you the truth, when you did it to the least of my brothers, you were doing it to me. And then it says, The king, he turned to those on the left. So he was talking to those on the right the first time. Now he's talking to the ones on the left. He said, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. I read that, verse 41. Go check it out. And then he goes on to say, for I was hungry. He talks about being hungry, thirsty, naked, sick, in a prison, and you didn't. And then they say, well, when did we not do this? And he said, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help them, refusing to help me. Okay, hold on. And then you go back to Isaiah 58. And he said, do not hide from relatives who need your help. See, back in Isaiah 58, there's a very big understanding that your relatives, you're going to do for your relatives. But see, Jesus took it to a whole nother level. Remember, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love thy one another. So he took this thing of it being all about your family away from 58 and Isaiah. And when he gave that new commandment, he got it and put it in a whole different light. So So I want to believe that just because God said don't hide from your relatives, if Jesus had to speak about it, he said don't hide from nobody who needs your help.
Absolutely.
I want to believe that, but it's not there written, so, you know, don't try to challenge me on it. But so the beauty of what God said to Isaiah, remember, what God spoke to Isaiah for Isaiah to speak to the people was before Jesus came. So we can look at Matthew 25 and just go right into it, but let's, again, get our foundation because he was talking about fasting.
Amen.
In those first couple of verses, before he talked about your salvation will come through and you'll be quickly healed and your godliness will come, that was the result of doing the previous. For me to say, if I say, listen, Mama, if you call me at 4 o'clock on Friday, I will give you $200. Mama, don't call me at 4 o'clock tomorrow. I'm just saying that as an example now. Don't put me on the spot saying, "My, yeah, don't do me that. Don't do me like that, Mama. Don't do me like that tomorrow." But if I say that, right, I'll put it like that. If Renee says that to Mama, let me not get it off of me now. If Renee says that to Mama, you say, "Mama, if you call me at 4 o'clock tomorrow, then I will give you $200. Now, you put it
Thank
all
you.
Out there on the line. See, I see she's going to get me. Now she got you, Renee.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day,
thank you.
Here's where we're at. It's up to Mama to call Renee at 4 o'clock.
Yes,
if Mama don't call at 4 o'clock, then Mama don't get that $200. So, because the word is then, that means after something else has occurred. So, if you share your food, and see, God don't say if. He doesn't put it as a condition. He says,
yes,
look,
sir.
Just do this. This is what I want you to do. And then he blesses them with being able to hear the next part, which is then your salvation comes forth, then your wounds will quickly heal, then your godliness leans forward, then the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. And then he goes even further.
Yes, sir. Verse 9.
Verse 9. Then when you call. So hold on.
Yes, sir.
See, something happens before you call. He's going to do all this stuff in the spiritual, but he says, then when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here. He will quickly reply. So you can't have this thing with fasting mixed up and twisted. Put the call before you do what he wants you to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
God,
amen.
That's good. All by itself. That is good.
That's good.
Simple instruction. Simple. All we have to do is follow. But guess what? If you don't pick up the phone to call, how are you going to get your money? All he said is do these things. Do it, and I will. Not maybe. Not I'll think about it. Not you have to give a tenth. You have to do a this. You have to do that. No, he says, do these things, and when you call, I will answer. I will. I will do it just simply based on this good old word right here. And guess what? His word's not going to return back to him, boy. It's going to do exactly what it was set out to do. He's saying, here, I tell you what, you do this, try me, and see if I won't do it. Do this, and watch me do that. Do this, and I'll give you that. He's making it plain, not saying maybe. Mm. This is so awesome. If we just take the word, chew on it, swallow it, adopt it, know exactly what we're doing, why we're doing it. Don't, I'm going to say this as nice as I know how, but we have to stop being so topical with the word of God. And we have to stop listening to everything that comes over the pulpit and accept it as law. Study. Get into the word of God. I tell you, we're living in an age now when you're without excuse if you don't know anything, because there's this wonderful thing called Google, and all you have to do is go in and ask anything you want to really know or study. And I tell you, when you're praying and fasting and really having a sincere heart before God, he'll answer your questions. He'll teach you. He'll show you. You have always got to have a foundation. Know why you are doing everything that you do and stamping the name Jesus on it. If you're in church doing anything and you're stamping Jesus on it, know why you're doing it. Know the history. Know who he was talking to. Know if it applies to you or is it a doctrine of man. Know what you're doing, because he told you, do this and I'll do that. Not based on what anybody said over the pulpit. No, based on his word. So get into that word. I can't emphasize that enough. I'll get lost right there. But people get stuck in their possessions, resources, and finances because they don't know the word. When you learn the word of God for every area of your life, you'll know what it says about your possessions. You'll know what it says about your resources. You will know what it says about your finances. And that you don't know, again, it's called Google. Google is your friend. Any questions you have, anything you want confirmation, understanding on, Google, read, study. When you're fasting and praying, I promise you, God's not going to leave you out there not sure and not knowing. He won't do it. He's not that kind of God. He said he will come when you cry.
Yeah. So
he says he will, he will.
That's right. See, one of the problems is that so many people are wanting him to will do things without doing their part. And I'm not being at anybody. Sometimes it's just out of ignorance. Sometimes it's just out of ignorance, right? I've never heard anybody talk about fasting and refer to this scripture and say, okay, because, again, when you go back to verse 9, then when you call. So that lets me know, okay, here's how my twisted mind thinks. I get a great twisted mind, right? So if we're going to do a fast, we're not going to ask God for nothing. We're just going to go out here and we're going to share some food. Yeah, we're going to go on a 21-day fast. And for 21 Ooh. Days at the church, we're going to share
my
our
God.
Food with hungry. That don't mean go deal with the homeless. Hungry and homeless are two different things. Uh-oh, I done messed somebody
sir.
Up.
Yes, sir.
There's hungry folks living and sitting in your church on Sunday morning, raising holy
Absolutely.
Hands right next to you, falling all over the pews, snotting in the pulpit and the choir stand. Hungry folks.
Amen.
You know how I know it's hungry
Absolutely.
Folks? Because when I serve, and my wife and I, when we serve at the food bank, most of the folks there are coming from church. Uh-oh.
Yes, sir.
So now, okay, how can you, we got to deal with the how. How can you share your food with hungry if you don't ask the doggone question, who the heck's hungry? Oh, so that means we may not leave after church and go to the restaurant. Maybe we need to ask the question in church who's hungry and give somebody some money so they can go to the restaurant. Because, see, you ain't got no problem going. You can go wherever you want to, some of us. We ain't got no problems. I'm not bragging. That's just where we're at and being blessed by God. We can go whatever restaurant we want to after church. And we don't do it like that all the time. Trust me, we don't because we're frugal. We're PRS stewards, right? So
yes, we are.
So what about the folks that's in your church that's hungry? Can I deal with this show? We're going to do a 21-day fast, so we're going to give shelter to the homeless. Oh, my goodness, I'm about to mess your thoughts. I'm about to mess it up. You got 5 bedrooms in your house.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hold on. Give shelter. It ain't say give shelter. Let me let y'all deal with that, whoever out there. What does that mean to give shelter to the homeless? Does that mean give of yourself to take somebody who is homeless to a homeless shelter? Does that mean putting somebody in your car and taking them to your house? Does that mean somebody who broke down, coming through your city, let them stay with you? See, one of the things I do agree with what you said, Renee, about God is not going to leave you out there.
No.
So if you go and you do things in the name of the Lord, then you don't have to worry about anything. I'm not asking, telling anybody to do anything crazy. So don't put that on me. What I'm saying is if the Spirit of God is leading you to help somebody in that way, then you do it.
Amen.
But it needs to be first and foremost in the front of your mind, not what you can get from God by doing a fast in the front of your mind. Oh, give clothes.
Absolutely.
Can I add something to the scripture? With ladies, give clothes and
yes,
shoes
sir.
To those who need them.
Amen.
Give clothes
Amen.
And handbags to those who need them.
Uh-oh.
I done messed somebody up. Yeah,
you
know
what?
That's
so awesome that you said that.
My wife is up there screaming at the top of her lungs. I know I'm going to mess
sure
somebody's head up.
I'm sure she is. You know, the other week when I talked about learning to be single and do better with my finances, well, I told you one of the things that was real soothing to me was shopping. And I had all these clothes in the closet with tags on them. Well, guess what? Just a couple of weeks ago, you know, you buy stuff and say, well, I'm going to lose 10 pounds and I'm going to get into that. Well, I'm going to do this and that. And I'm going to get into that. I had all these clothes I ain't got in yet. So just a few weeks ago, there was a lady that I know from church. She was had a fire. And I didn't know that she needed clothes, but I put something on Facebook. I said, hey, anybody need clothes or know someone that needs clothes, please contact me. And I was able to give this lady all kinds of clothes, suits with tags on them. And I was so excited. I said, God, even in my foolishness, even in me spending money unwisely probably, buying all these clothes to soothe my emotions and feelings when I was going through, you had a plan. You knew the day would come where this girl would need these clothes. So I was not only able to be a blessing to her and give her clothes, but they were brand new with tags on them. That's how you bless people. Instead of saying, well, let me take them to the consignment shop. Well, let me put them somewhere so I can sell them. It made my heart feel so good to be a blessing to somebody because I know what it feels like to need help. I know what that means. So this whole thing, us being servants of Christ, is about serving others. In anything we do, if we don't put servitude first, we're missing it. We're missing it. It's not about us. The Bible says this, Jesus made himself of no reputation. Unfortunately, we're living in a time where the body of Christ, a lot of people think it's about them and their glory and their wonderfulness. And you got all these titles and positions and isms and schisms and all this weird stuff that has nothing to do with Jesus. But the reality of it is we've all been called to be servants. The Bible says what? The greatest among you is going to be who? It's going to be the one that's serving. It's going to be, it's all about servitude. So when we learn how to operate there, I promise you, possessions, resources, finances, they all line up. But you're not going to obtain these things correctly or know what to do with them when you think it's all about you. Because I promise you it's not. Jesus made himself of no reputation. So I wonder why the body of Christ insists on having one.
Wow.
That's a firecracker there.
Adia said, it's real. She said, it is real
it's
when
real.
You have hungry and homeless people in the church.
Yes, sir. Yes,
she said, it's real. So, again, verse 7 is it. Share your food with the hungry. Give clothes or give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. Now, I'm one that says, look, let us look at the text. I think it matters. I don't think. I know it matters. It matters when God speaks certain things. When God speaks, everything that he says is important. God don't talk like us all willy-nilly. God speaks with purpose. He speaks with intentionality and everything else, right? Notice how he says, share food with the hungry. Then he says, give shelter to the homeless. Then he says, give clothes to those who need them. And then he says, and don't hide from the relatives who need your help.
Yes, sir. The first ones we want to run from because they get on our nerves. Yes.
Oh, I'm about to. Renee, I know you got to run. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you guys for being awesome. Y'all, this is so good to me. You know I'm over here just jumping in my seat. I get excited about the word of God. Y'all doing great. I'm going to catch up with the show later and listen to it. I'm on my way to another service now. Y'all have an awesome evening. God bless everybody.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon, Mama.
Okay.
Right.
4 o'clock.
All right. Y'all be blessed.
Look at Mama.
Just messing with you.
Sounds funny. I think this, Mama, I think this this last part of that verse 7 is so critically important. Do not hide from relatives who need your help. That's all that it says. It doesn't say don't hide from the relatives who only come to you one time. It doesn't say don't hide from the it doesn't say don't hide from the relatives that borrowed money and gave it back when they say they won't give it back. Because, you know, you got some that give it back, 10 years later. When they need to come to you again. Hey, man, you know what? I knew I owed you this $1,000. Here it is. Then you give it to them. Can I borrow the 1,001? You know, right there on you. It doesn't say all that.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's amazing that God will talk about giving to other folks before even giving to your relatives. Look at it. He didn't say share your food with your relatives. He puts no disclaimer on who he's talking about. So because he makes it very specific in the last part of talking about relatives, you only can infer that it either was not talking about relatives in the first three lines, or it was talking about relatives and everybody else. Either way, it's not about us. It's not about your individual household. And so, again, this is the type of fasting that God wants. Oh, and then it gets good. You know, we talked about, or we talked from verse number 9 already, right?
Yes.
But we didn't finish it. It says, remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop. Now, you got to understand something. There's a lot of people that have a lot of other people under a heavy yoke of oppression. We're not dealing with modern day slavery right now. There's credit card companies that have people under a heavy yoke of oppression. Doesn't mean that they didn't put themselves in a situation by accepting 23% interest rate on that credit card and then using it all up and can't have no way to pay it back. No, they offered it, but you took it and you used it. So now they got you under a heavy yoke of oppression because your $12 a month is going to have you paying that thing for 27 years, 4 months, and 2 days. You know, they put that on a statement now. What about some other folks that have folks under a heavy yoke of oppression? Y'all ain't going to like me, but that's okay. I've been there before. Pastors. Pastors that know folks are in the church going through some of the things that we continuously talk about, but won't let nobody in to help them. So yet they're still under a heavy yoke of oppression. Won't ask the question about to the people, do you have this going on? Waiting for folk to come to them. You can't handle it. You can't even handle your stuff half the time. There's so many. You got spouses that don't, quote unquote, let their other half of that other half, like, you know, a male husband to a wife to a husband, go out and spend money. Huh? Where that foolishness come from? I ain't talking about, you know, you know she or he don't know what to do with certain things. I'm talking about just being controlling. We can deal with this oppression thing a whole lot and take it to a whole different ways. But I know there's a lot of people living under living in bondage when it comes to their possession, resources, and finances. So who the heck is the one that has the ability to remove the yoke? He wasn't talking about a spiritual thing because he was talking to people removing the yoke. So when was the last time you thought about who I got my foot on their neck? Am I controlling? Am I keeping somebody as a supervisor? Am I putting somebody under a yoke of oppression where I'm being manipulative with the overtime, giving it to my friends, giving it to somebody of the same color, docking somebody's pay? Come on, man. Then he goes on, and I'm about done. Verse 10, verse 11, in verse 12, he goes back to something that he started on when he said, this is what I want, this type of fasting that I want. In verse 10, he says, feed the hungry. Now, you got to understand there's a difference between verse 10 and verse 6 or verse 7. In verse 7, he said, this is what I, or 6, right? He said, this is what I want. And then goes on to 7. He didn't say you had to share. He's saying, this is what I want. But now, in verse 10, after he talked about remove the yoke of oppression, he says, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. That sounds like a command to me.
Yes.
Because right after that, he says, then your light will shine out from darkness. Oh, see, you can't just go back up to verse 8 and say, oh, take the piece where he said, then your salvation will come, your heels will get hick wounded, your wounds will get quickly healed. Ah, you see, you can't stop over there because you ain't even at the point where you can call on God. According to the scripture, then when you call, you can call on, right? But he said, then when you call, I will answer. So it lets me know that we want God to answer when we call, but you can't even have that mindset that he's going to answer because you ain't even giving him what he wants. When he says the darkness around you is going to be bright as the noonday sun, he says the Lord will guide you. Now this is Isaiah. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you, I love this. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins that happened to your city. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Hold on. He says some of you. He didn't say all of us. But remember the context. Remember the family unit. Remember the community. So if some of you rebuild the desert ruins, that means everybody don't have to do it. But we're all in this thing together. You think God's going to be happy if you have the ability to rebuild certain things right where you're at? He said, of your cities. He ain't say nowhere overseas. He ain't say no Bijou, no, he ain't say none of that. He said, your cities. So you can't talk about nothing. Nothing outside of your city. You will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. There's some stuff that's going on. We understand that politics plays a very big role in people's lives. We understand that we just come through a horrible election cycle and we're living through a horrible presidency right now. I said it. You can't act like it ain't happening. I guess if you're of a certain persuasion, you don't want to be honest about it. But what about rebuilding the people? So if you're going to be out here talking about you fasting, but you're not dealing with anything about rebuilding up anything right where you're at. Mama, I'm done. I'm done. I
think everything
the only thing
was
I
said.
Go ahead, Mama. Go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to say, I thought you was totally ending the show and you were going to ask me, but I was saying everything was said of what we really have to do. And to me, we have to have a biblical foundation on what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never heard this before myself, but I just always just did it. And I was thinking what I was thinking, But as I'm reading the scripture, as you're reading the scripture, and I am saying, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for, this revelation, because I was so, oh, my gosh, I didn't know I had, all this was involved.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I didn't know all this was involved, and I love Isaiah, and I have read this. But I will never associate it with fasting, although the title does tell you that it is about fasting.
<That's right.
laughs> It just never related.
And he says,
oh my
this
God.
Is what I want. This is what I want. So, listen, I know we've given some food for thought. I pray that it resonates in a lot of those who are listening now, who have listening, who will listen in the future. I pray that it seeps deep down into your spirit, because at the end of the day, we don't need folks talking about what they're doing, talking about that they're fasting, and then there's no result. And here's the danger, when we start talking about corporate fasting church, well, everybody don't get that opportunity to talk about what happened. You got 200 folks in your church. You don't hear 200 folks talking about, let me tell you what I said. Let me tell you. It ain't even allotted in church. But if God has done something for you after it, you need to tell it. If they don't give you an opportunity to speak about or to say what God has done through your, with your time of fasting, then you still got to tell it. And just post something on Facebook to the world. No, tell somebody that you're going to encounter. Because the reality is we can put all we want on Facebook, mama.
Yes.
But ain't nobody.
Yes.
How, think about all the stuff that goes on Facebook. How many folks have contacted you or contacted me? Say, you know what, brother, what should I do? And then my response, and our response would be, well, repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And leading somebody to salvation. We don't get that. But the person you encounter on a day-to-day basis, the person that comes to your door knocking on the door for somebody else, for your next-door neighbor, got to pay attention to these God encounters. So listen, I know for a fact you have a whole bunch of folks that have no idea when we talk about fasting for finance. It doesn't even ring true to them. It doesn't seem like it's something that they should be doing. And I go back to what I said on the first show. I've been trying everything else. Why not try this? Let me just tell you something. We're about to, you're about to be fasting for some finances, mama, over the next couple of weeks. Let me tell you why. Because God has opened up a tremendous door. And if you are still listening, I encourage you to go to our website, prfministry.org. Go to our website. Go to the section on our website that says PRF courses. You will see some commercials, and so you will understand a little bit better about why we're doing what we're doing. And then I challenge you to go to our current events section on our website. When you go to the current events section, then you're going to see that we have certain things on there, such as conferences, webinars, the PRF table is on there, and events that our partners are having. And when you go under conferences, you're going to see that we have 5 conferences. I told you I was gearing up and letting everybody know what was going on a couple weeks ago. But we have now released and opened up registration for our Legacy Conference 2017. These Legacy Conferences are going to be held in 5 locations. The first one is going to be on June the 3rd in a place called Opelika, Alabama, Creekstand Free Will Non-Denominational Church. Pastor Johnny Freeman is the pastor there. On June the 24th, we'll be at Greater Providence Worship Center in Sanford, Florida. Pastor Cubitt Malone is the pastor there. On July 15th, we'll be at Rama Presbyterian Church in Huntersville, North Carolina. That's right outside of Concord, North Carolina, which Concord is right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. That's going to be on July 15th. Pastor Brian Copeland is the pastor there. The 12th will be in Agape Church in Havre de Grace, Maryland, which is about 35 minutes outside of Baltimore. Pastor Vince Austin is the pastor there. Then on August 26th, we're going to be in Columbia, South Carolina. Now listen, God has sent us to these places to really focus on helping people to understand not just their possession, resources, and finances, but this is about your legacy. This is about putting your affairs in order. This is about focusing on the spiritual and practical steps of leaving a legacy, getting at least burial insurance, preparing a will, putting other estate plans. We are going to put you on a path. God is going to do some remarkable things, and registration is open right now. Registration will not stay open forever. So listen, I need you to be encouraging others to attend these conferences. If it's anywhere, if you're anywhere close to it, and if you're not close to it, you can go on our website. You can donate to help somebody else to get there, because the reality is we know by what God has called us to do during this summer, people need what he is offering. Go back to Isaiah 58. You ain't got to take it. Go back to Matthew 25. You ain't got to take it. But here's what I will know. Same thing he told Hezekiah. Get your house in order, for you shall surely die. I don't know when you're going, but you're going. The only way you're not going is if Jesus come back first, and you're going a different way if you're saved. But for everybody else,
yeah,
it's going to be laid out. Just officiated a funeral a couple of weeks ago of a good friend of mine. Matter of fact, one of our facilitators' mom, Chris McWhite. Let's continue to pray for him. Had to bury his mom a couple of weeks ago in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's not some easy stuff to do. But you know what else is not easy? Seeing on Facebook a friend of mine that I know who is affected by 7 people that have died this month alone. And that was a week or so ago when she posted this. The 23 or 24-year-old that I got the other day, over the weekend, I believe it was, who didn't have life insurance. We got to get our stuff in order. And I'm going to tell you, Mama, I preached something on last Sunday, and it just happened to be from Mark chapter 9. The title of the message was, "For the Believer, There's No Excuse."
Yes.
For the believer, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for why a lot of people are in the situation. Now, if you don't know, it's a different story. God can't hold you accountable for what you don't know. He's not going to do that. But when you have an opportunity that's been presented before you and you choose not to take it, now there's no excuse and you're accountable. And pastors, leaders, I'm encouraging you, get your folks, get the people that God has given you charge of to attend these conferences. And I'll put it out there. If you can't afford the registration fee, don't let that stop. You got to register because you can't just walk in there. So you got to register ahead of time. So now we done took down every single barrier that there is. Now, I can't say we're going to come get you because I don't know where we're going to all these places. I just know these are the places that God opened up doors for. But I guarantee you, if somebody reaches out to us and say, hey, you know, I registered and I can't get there, I'm sure that all these great pastors and all these communities that we're going to be in will be able to make sure somehow, some way that you can get there. So now there's no excuse because you're a believer. There's no excuse. Mama, I had a good time. I thank Renee Higgins for being with us over these last couple of weeks. Kimberly Silas popped in on one of our weeks, and Adia, you popped in and been with us a couple of weeks. Look, we do what we do because we love God's people. We're following the call on our life and as a ministry, and so we need your support. So, again, check us out on our website, prfministry.org. We're looking for partners and sponsors for not just the Legacy Conferences 2017, but we're also looking for partners that just want to be a part of what God is doing. So if you sell insurance and you're willing to just deal with the barriers, contact on my email address, which is Dunlap, D-U-N-L-A-P, at prfministry.org. You can call us at 267-437-7999. You can email the admin at prfministry.org. You can go to our website, send us something through our contact page. But again, we need your support. We need your support. We need your support. Partners, pastors, leaders, everybody. You want to donate on our website, we got everything set up for you. You can give monthly, every 3 months, every 6 months, every 12 months, monthly donations during those time periods. God is doing some good stuff, Mama. I'm just so fortunate and blessed for everybody that's surrounding, not me, but surrounding this ministry. I'm so thankful to God for all the pastors that have opened up their doors to host these conferences. They're not charging us anything for coming to do the work of the Lord. And so we'll bless them as long as we're blessed. We got one pastor that said, don't worry. Listen, there's so much you're going to get out of this conference. I'm telling you, just go to the website, go to our Facebook page. We have the events on our Facebook page. You cannot register on our Facebook page. You have to do it through our website, but you can get to it on our Facebook page. So we have to say that out loud because we just don't want people liking the event, thinking that they're registered and they're good to go. No, you have to go to the registration page. We have group rates that are available. So if you let us know that you have five or more people, and of course we're not going to have you paying the whole registration fee. Why would we do that? We're just honored and blessed that you're even giving us five people that's coming. But we need at least 50 people at every single one of these conferences. That's what I believe God has given me, and that's what we're going to be expecting God for. So with that, Mama, we say good evening.
Yes.
We say good evening. We know some people that's out there that have come on in the last 20 minutes, but thank everybody for just riding with us, because this is not, I promise you, it is not an easy journey, but with God, all things are possible. Matter of fact, I believe that's what one of the things that Jesus said. With faith, with faith. So, all right, Mama, listen, we're out of here. People, good people, we are out of here. Thank everybody again for listening and being with us during this month. Next month, I won't tell you what the series is for next month, but I really want you to go back and listen on blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. To the previous shows that we've had during this month of April 2017. And just know that next month we'll have something very, very God-led. And I'm kind of getting excited about it right now. But I just want to let everybody know we really want you to be free. We want you to be free from spiritual bondage. We want you to be free from financial bondage. We want you to be free from emotional bondage. And I promise you, if you pray and fast, if you get before the Lord, if you follow some of those steps that we talked about or that Mama, you brought out about getting in the presence of the Lord, praying for somebody else, laying down still, the Psalm 46:10, listening to the Word of God, listening to spiritual things that's going to resonate in your spirit, lift you up and build you up, not tear you down like you look on certain radio stations, news stations, et cetera. Receive the rest in the Lord that God has given in this season, Matthew 11:28. Right, all those who are heavy laden and burdened, he'll give us rest. And then once you get all that, then evaluate whatever the lesson is that God was trying to show you. Whether you put yourself in a position, say, I don't want to do that again. I see there was me that put myself in that position. Or if it's like God did, right. Or if it's like God did with Jesus in the wilderness. He led him into the wilderness. So if God leads you into the wilderness, he ain't going to let you go. Jesus come out of it, and he's given us his spirit, then we can come out of it. And then when you find yourself in another situation because these situations come, take the necessary action, right? He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. So keep the kingdom first and foremost in your mind. Forget church. I know it's going to mess a couple of y'all up. Keep kingdom in your mind first. Then you don't have to worry about church because you'll be doing things that end up bless the church. And then repeat the process gave you. And then, again, this came from what God liked, where God laid you. At Mama. So repeat the process. You know, we're going to come across some things that are going to come to us, and we know we can't get rid of every single thing. So if I got the rest, got in the presence of the Lord, if I prayed for somebody and I did those steps, why would I do that the same time something else comes up? So with that, my good people, God bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you next week.